السلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So the idea of having this 6 o'clock class was to be able to journal your Qur'ans, a juz a day. And it's 114 surah in 30 ajza. I'm going to do a little bit of introduction that I did with the children yesterday, which I hope will kind of help a little bit. So we'll start off just by knowing a few of the terminologies of the Quran, and I have put them down in my Quran. I'm gonna keep on referring back and forth to it. If you look there, this is my Quran, and we'll come to Quran City in a minute, but I've actually written it down there so I don't forget, and I'm gonna go over these. Okay, so the Quran has 30 ajza. It wasn't revealed like that. The Quran was divided into 30 equal parts so that it made it easier for the reader to finish it in a month. So one juz and 30 ajza. The Quran is also divided into manzil and manazil. So if you look at the weekly stuff as such, if you want to finish the Quran in a week, then you would be able to, you'd be able to recite this Quran in a week by doing one manzil. So one manzil, seven manazil, and these are normally written at the bottom of the Quran. Then the surah was revealed as surahs or sur. Everybody likes to say surahs with an S at the end, and that's okay, but the word for it, the plural, is sur. One surah, 114 surah. There's 6,236 ayat. It's one ayah, so many ayat, and an ayah is a sign. 77,807 words, and that's something that you may want to know. Now, you will find ruku'at in the Quran. That means you will find this symbol, which is the ayn, that is over here, right down here. And this symbol,
could you try again?
Sorry, that was Siri. So this is the ayn in the Quran, and you will find that everywhere. That's called a ruku'at. So what happened? The Quran was sent to Bukhar in Russia, and when it was sent there, the ulama there wanted to finish the recitation of the Quran in their tarawiyah, 20 rakats of tarawiyah, on the 27th of Ramadan. So if you do 20 times 27, you will see that that's 540. And they sort of divided it roughly into sort of, if I can say, topic wise, roughly. There are three numbers on the ayn, and I'll go back to it again so you can see. The top one is the number of that ruku in that surah. The bottom one is the number in the juz, and the middle one is the number of ayat in that ruku. Now, I've written those down because I need to constantly refer back to them. I'd also suggest that you would be able to take a copy of the Quran, of Quran City, and stick it in the front, and it sort of gives you an overview of the Quran. So this is what I've done. This is my Quran. The front is a little bit decorated. It has my name on it. It's got little quotes on it. You could put quotes from the Quran if you wanted. And you can personalize it, and you can put that on. And I'll go through some of the things that are on here as well. So the idea is to journal the Quran. So what is journaling the Quran? Journaling the Quran actually means to personalize your Quran. So when you look at it, it talks to you. And you want to connect to it. It wants to be something that's yours. You need some tools. I suggest some pencil colors, a ruler, a sharp pencil, and obviously an eraser. So the first thing when you get to the Quran is there are some stuffs that we need to go over and that we need to do. And I know these are simple, and I know everybody knows them, but it's a good idea to refresh ourselves. Every time you pick up the Quran, do wudu. You don't have to, but it's really cool to do that. If you cannot recite in Arabic, at least make an attempt to recite in Arabic. I would put the Arabic and the English close by together, because nothing beats the Arabic. Always, always, when you open the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Always, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Pronounce the ultimate declaration of independence means continually say La ilaha illallah. And then I love the dua of the Prophet, which is six words. Walzam qalbi, and you can say that with me. Walzam qalbi hifdha kitabika kama allamtani. Six words. Now, I've put it right at the top up here. If you go onto the website, you can download it. You can download the little heart and you can stick it on. And basically it means make me commit to my heart. Walzam, make me commit. Qalbi, my heart. Hifdha kitabika. So the internalization of your book, kama allamtani, like you have taught me. And I put that in Arabic here as well. وَأَزَمْ قَلْبِي حِفْظَ كِتَابِكَ كَمَا عَلَّمْتَنِي. And continually saying it, it just does something to us. If you look at my Quran, I've put a little bit about the different sections of Quran City. And maybe when we get to them, I will talk a little bit about them. I remind myself that it's not a ceremonial book. You can only enter it with intellectual humility. On the next page, I've put what we call the color chart. You can download it from the website as well. And when we do the surahs and the different colors in them, you'll understand why I've said that. I've put the Quran's journey there. So it started off in Lohe Mahfuz, and this is in surah number 85. It comes down to the heart of the Prophet. And this is Surah Ash-Shura, if you can see that, where Allah says, Nazzala bihi ruhul amin. We sent it down in parts with the angel, Jibreel. Ala qalbaka, to your heart. Litakuna min al-mundhirin, so that you will be able to warn human beings. And I've put different things up there, and you could do too. I've even put the dua for istikhara there. So when I look at it, I've got it there. And one of my favorite hadiths is over here. I'm going to try and move it up so you can see it. Where Imam Hussein, when he asked for a last night in Karbala, and he said it's for four reasons. وَحِبُّ الصَّلَاةِ وَتِلَاوَةِ كِتَابِهِ وَكَثْرَةُ الدُّعَاءِ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. And that's the only reason he asked for that last night. And I put in there to remind me. You could put anything you wanted that would remind you of it. I put the difference between Makki and Madani Surah, and we'll talk about that at some point. This is how the Quran was revealed. That's a chronological order. This is the arranged order. And then I put the daily recitation chart, which you can download from the website, which tells you, you could actually, after every salah, recite some parts of that juz, and you'll be able to finish a juz in that particular day. So this is juz 1, and if you looked at that shelf that we saw before, this was the first shelf, and every shelf had knickknacks, and in our shelf, in our knickknack, we've put Quran City. So you have Surah Al-Fatiha, you have Surah Al-Baqarah up to 100 ayah 141, and then you've got the knickknack of Quran City. So the first thing we would do is go to Surah Al-Fatiha. I'll go to my Quran so you can see it. So the first thing I did was, I downloaded the building from the website, and I stuck it onto there. So I know for a fact that this surah is the summary of the Quran. We've divided it into three sections. And the first section says, who is Allah? He is Rabbul Alameen, he is Rahman, he is Rahim, and he is Malik. The second section, we wish to become your slaves. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. نَسْتَعِينَ comes from إِسْتِعَانَ. It's asking for help for something I'm already doing. So he will ask me, what do you want help in? And that's what I've highlighted. When we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us, all of us, to our full potential. Sirat has no plurals. It's a path that goes from down to up. So it goes down to up. It's wide. It's smooth. It goes up to my personal best. And I suggest when you highlight this on post-it notes, write your aspirations of your personal best. It'll change over time. But every time you pray salah and you say, اِهْدِنَا الصَّلَاةَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, that post-it note of how we get to our personal best should come into your mind. Now I've put in a lot of post-it notes here, a lot of bits and pieces. I've put every word of Surah Al-Fatiha. There's some ahadith here where the Prophet said, O Jabir, shall I teach you the best and most excellent of chapters of surahs? And he said, Bala, and he taught him Surah Al-Fatiha. Every single thing has a foundation. The foundation of the Quran is Surah Al-Fatiha. And the whole Quran is in essence a tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. It's just phenomenal to be able to know this surah because we recite it every day in our salah. So this is what you would highlight, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Right. So now we will go on to the next part, which is Surah Al-Baqarah. But first of all, let's look at the Baqarah building. So again, I've cut it out and I've put it in here. We've divided the Baqarah building into 9 sections. Very easy. When I say very easy to conceptualize in our minds. The focus of Baqarah is to be able to understand Iman through history, to be able to have faith to history. So the first thing is, put yourself in a class. Either you are a believer, a non-believer, or a hypocrite. That's basically how it is. Second section tells you who is Allah. Third section tells you the first student of this university was Prophet Adam. The fourth section, the most challenging students were the Bani Israel. The fifth section, the star student was Prophet Ibrahim. sixth section now, he says, now you know the history of my university, I'm going to inaugurate a new class for you, change of Qibla. Seventh section tells you what to do in this class, all the things that are taught, they're all there, whether it is food, hajj, charity, salah, sawm, all of those. Then he says, that's not enough, section 8. You've got your general degree, now you need a master's. So you need to make long-term investments, and you find that in section 8. And the most awesome ayah of the Quran is in section 8 as well, which is Ayatul Kursi. Inshallah, we'll do that tomorrow. And then it ends off at section 9 with a summary of the whole surah, which is Amanu Rasul. It's sort of like conceptualizes the core beliefs. Now what are we going to highlight from here? First thing we're going to highlight is ayah 2, where Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكَتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That's how I've highlighted, if you look there. ذَلِكَ الْكَتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. I got to know a few words here. ذَلِكَ is something that is distant. هَذَا is something that is near. And Allah uses ذَلِكَ because when this was revealed, when ذَلِكَ, when this particular scroll was revealed, it wasn't a book yet. It was still in Lawh-e Mahfuz. The book was there. And it's really precise. Kitab is a immobile structure. It's etched. Remember, the Quran was etched on different things, carved. It's etched in your heart. It's carved on stone. Muttaqin comes from wikaya. Wikaya means protection. So this book, there is no doubt in it. It will provide guidance to those who protect themselves. Who protect themselves from that which is wrong. So I highlight that. If you look, I've highlighted a little bit in blue, circled it. You can highlight it in whatever colors you wish you want to do. So that's ayah 2. What's the next thing we're going to highlight? The next thing is ayah 25, and I absolutely love it. So I'll go back to it. I'll show it to you in my Quran first. So that's my ayah 25 up here, and I've only highlighted the bit that you've got highlighted on the screen. So what happens? وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Give good news to those who believe and do good deeds. أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِ مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. That they will go into a Jannah where there will be rivers. كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا. Every time they eat the fruit of this, قَالُوا, they will say, هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ. This is what we had before. وَأُطُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا. But it was like it. وَلَمْ فِيَ أَزْوَاجٌ مُتَحَرَةٌ. They will have really pure companions. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And they will live there forever. So I've highlighted that in green. And I've written down there, Jannah on earth. Jannah on earth and Akhirah. The Akhirah, in essence, this Jannah that we see is a reflection of what we do here. So it's quite an important ayah for me to... I mean, there's loads of ayahs, but this is the one that we're going to pick for this page. Next one, ayah 30, which says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. And when your Rabb sent to the angels, إِنِّي جَائِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I am going to place in the earth a representative. So when I've highlighted that, it highlights to me that the human being was made for the earth. I know we all know the story of Prophet Adam and Sayyidah Hawa and about the tree of immortality, which we will talk about, and they were asked to leave Jannah. But in essence, they were made for the earth. And that's something we need to know. We were made for the earth. You can read all the other ayat that go with it, but they all talk about the same story, and we'll come to it in a minute. So, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ. And we said to Adam, this is ayah 35, and I'll show it to you in a minute in my Quran. We said to Adam, you and your wife live in the garden and eat from whatever you want. There's so much food, plenty, 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 plenty food. But they were told, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Don't go near this particular tree. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. You will be of the unjust. So this is how I've highlighted it. I've highlighted هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. I've drawn a tree, and then I've written the tree of immortality. Because if you went to surah number 20, which is surah Taha, and you looked at ayah 120, Allah says, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And Shaitan caused them to become restless. قَالَ. And he said, يَا آدَمْ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْقُلْبِ. Shall I guide you to an immortal tree? وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. And a kingdom that will not change or not deteriorate. So what happens? Let's just have a think about this, okay? So we find that they're advised not to go near it. And I paraphrase in my own words. They're extremely happy. Honeymoon, they love each other, they love where they are, they have everything at their disposal. And Shaitan says, would you like to live here forever? Would you like permanent citizenship of Jannah? I said, yeah, we would. Eat of that tree. They were hesitant. And he said, look, I'm a seriously wise person. I'm a well-wisher. I'm advising you and I'm giving you good advice. They'd never heard of a lie in their life. And it was an advice given by Allah not to give near that tree. In any case, so they eat of the tree. And they feel really, really bad. They feel ashamed of themselves. Quran says they covered themselves with the leaves of Jannah. So they felt really bad about it. When we feel bad, you want to curl up. It's human nature to do that. And that's what they did. But they were forgiven because they asked for forgiveness. And a hadith tells us that they asked for forgiveness using the wasila of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein. Now if you look at my ayah here that I've highlighted, I've got a post-it note here. And on that I've put all the ayah that are related to this ayah. So besides having Surah Al-Baqarah ayah 35, 36, 37 and 38, which you can highlight up here, I've also got Surah Al-A'raf, because this is where it talks about the same incident. I've also got Surah Al-Taha. And it's amazing, because the story of Prophet Adam, if you were to read the Quran in a week, it comes in every manzil. It's like a reminder. Once, seven times, once every time, it's a reminder. So maybe these we'll print out for you, or put them on the group, or let you know what they are. So that was this ayah. Right, let's go back. So now we're going to look at 37 and 38. And this again are the ayah that I've highlighted of Prophet Adam. So let's have a look here. We go back and you can see I've highlighted 37 and 38 here. So what happens? فَتَلَكَّ آدَمَ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. He's really feeling bad about it. But he receives some words from his Rabb. And we are told that the words he received are asking the wasila of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. قُلْ نَحْبِتُ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَعْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So Allah turns to them mercifully, فَطَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. He turns to anyone who turns towards him, he is merciful. But then we told them, go, you're supposed to go to the earth, all of you. And whoever follows my guidance, you shall have no grievance at all. So this is when Prophet Adam is told to leave the earth as such. So what I've highlighted, and I'll go back into it to you again, is فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. So in the dua of forgiveness you will find in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 23. Let's look at the next ayah, and I'll go back towards it so you can highlight it. So the next ayah I've got is ayah 43. And here, let me go back to this so you can see, is the dua for, it is the ayah for Salatul Jama'ah. Okay. Wa aqimus salat. So where in the Quran does it say Salatul Jama'ah? This is one of the ayat that says it. It says, establish salah, manifest your salah by giving zakah, and then warqa'u ma'arraki'in, do ruku with those who do ruku. So you can see I've highlighted it. If you look back, I've highlighted it in green. Anything that's an order that I think we need to follow that makes us mu'mineen, I've highlighted in green. You can do whatever you wish to do. So this is how I've highlighted it. Right, let's go to the next one. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. If you want to seek assistance, seek it through sabr and salah. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا لِلْخَاشِينَ. It's really, really difficult. It's a hard thing to do. Except for those who have khushu, those who are humble. And you see I've highlighted it down here. But then at the bottom I've written what sabr means. Sabr is self-mastery. It's being able to continue regardless of the emotional storms that one is going through. That is what's called sabr. And he says, if you want help, and remember I talked about isti'ana. Isti'ana is asking help for something I'm already doing. He said, ask help through sabr and salah. So I've highlighted that. Right, let's go to the next one. This is ayah 50 and 51. Okay. I will go back so you can see. This one I've done in blue because it's the sea. وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحَرَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ. Go back to the ayah. وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا. When we parted the sea for you and we saved you. Now the reason why I've done this, because this reminds me of Dua Ilahi Kayfa Ad'uka. Now many of you may know this dua. It's a dua taught by Imam Zainul Abidin. It says, Ilahi Kayfa Ad'uka wa ana ana. Wa kayfa aqta'u rajai minka wa anta ant. How can I call on you? How can I call on you because I'm so insignificant? But then how can I cut my hope off you because you are so awesome? Now in this dua we say, Ilahi, fakama falakta al-bahara li Musa alayhi salam wa najjayta. Just as you parted the sea for Musa and you saved him, as'aluka an tusalli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I ask you in the name of Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa an tunajjiyani mimma ana fi. That you save me from what I am in. So I've written down here, dua ilahi kayfa aduka. Every time I see this ayah, that's what it reminds me of. And then I've also highlighted ayah 51. In an ayah 51, it's wa'idh wa'adna Musa arba'ina layla, and gives me the importance of the 40 nights of Prophet Musa has. And it reminds you of arba'in kalamiya. So this starts the first of Dhul Qa'adah and ends on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. And it's all about Prophet Musa. So I write 40 there, so it reminds me of that. Okay, let's go back. The next ayah I've picked is where it's a little bit of, it's historical ayah. And in my Quran, I've put a little ape there, which reminds me, right? So maybe you could read up the history of this. Let's go. It says, وَلَقَدْ أَلِمْتُمُ الَّذِينَ أَقْتَدَوْا مِنْكُمْ فِي السَّبْتِ. And you know those who transgressed the laws that were given to them for Saturday. فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ. And we told them, كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. Become like apes. You just... Because, and this psychologically, it's telling me that when I do not follow that which Allah has ordained me to follow, then I become something that is not intellectually reason based, does not listen to, is not spiritual as such. Next ayah. Oh my goodness, this is where the story, where the name Baqarah comes from. So this is ayah 67. And what I've done in my Quran is basically just highlighted Baqarah there, and I've put surah name, so I know where the surah name comes from. But this takes you through from 67 to 73, and I'll go over it with you. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى. And when Musa said to his people, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. Allah commands you that you should sacrifice a cow. قَالُوا. They said, أَتَتَّكِذُونَ هُزُوَا. Do you take us as fools? And he replied and he said, I seek protection from Allah from being one of the ignorant. So what was the story? So a person was murdered and nobody knew who committed the murder. There was no evidence, there was no witnesses. And everybody in the town swore their innocence. We've not done this at all. So Allah, Prophet Musa goes to Allah and says, this is causing real problems here. Allah says, tell them to slaughter a cow. And that's when they say, do solve a murder, slaughter a cow, are you serious? So now they're making it even more difficult. So they said, well, you know what kind of cow? And they're told, and if you read the surah, if you read the ayat from 67 to 73, this is what it says, what kind of cow? And they're told, not too old, not too young, sort of middle age. What color? They were told, intensely yellow. They said, well, all cows look the same to us, tell us a bit more about it. And always remember, Musa has to go up to the mountain, come down, go up, come down with these questions. And he was told, healthy, no blemishes, doesn't work on the farm, doesn't plow the land or water the fields. They knew who owned that cow. There was a young righteous man whose father had given him the cow. He had seen the Prophet in his dream, where the Prophet had told him, if you want, they will come to you to buy the cow, but you will ask your mama to set the price. He said, yes, okay. So when they came to him, he said, "My mom's going to set the price." And mom said, "The hide full of gold coins." And they said, okay. Reluctantly, they agreed. But having agreed the price, they didn't pay the full price to him. Anyway, they slaughtered the calf. Musa said, "Take the tail and place it on the dead man." Nothing happened. And they said, "Nothing's happened." Prophet Musa said, "My Rabb is never wrong. Allah says, Musa, they haven't paid the price of the cow. They've got to go and pray for it." They finish paying the price. They come back. They put this tail on the cow. And he got up. And he identified his two cousins who had killed him because of the woman he had married. They were jealous. And they killed him because of this woman. The two murderers were punished. He came back to life. And he said, "I want to live forever." Not forever. I want to live my life. And Prophet Musa says, "Ask in the name of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad." The man with the gold coin said, "How do I protect my money?" "Ask in the name of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad." And Allah tells Musa, "Musa, if those two cousins had asked me to protect them from jealousy, I'd have told them to ask through Muhammad, or rather, if they'd asked through Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, I would have protected them." So every time you see a cow, think of Surah Al-Baqarah, jealousy. Think of how them not paying their full price. Think of how many questions they asked. How much we do. When we're told to do something, we ask 100 different questions. So it's a good reminder when we see Baqarah. The next one is Ayah 83. And this is 8 beliefs. Okay, I'll show you my Quran so you can see it. There you go. There's 8 beliefs here. And I've highlighted it and I've numbered each one. So let's go over each of these. So you can highlight it and you can number them. There's 8 basic beliefs. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاكَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. And we made a covenant with the Bani Israel. Number 1. لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You will not worship anyone but Allah. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانَ. Second thing. You will do ihsan to your parents. You'll be extra good to your parents. And then وَذِي الْقُرْبَ. And those who are near you, your relations. Wal yatama, the orphans. Wal masakin, those who are in need. Wa kulu linnasi husna, when you speak to people, you will always speak good with them. Wa aqimu salah, you will establish salah. Wa atu zakah, and you will give zakah. And those are the 8 things that you remember that are basics of belief. So highlight it, put numbers on them as well. Just as I have done, inshallah, like that. And you can highlight and put numbers on. Right, let's go to the next one. The next one is Ayah 104. It's the first time that we have Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu. Okay, so let's go. So you can see I've put that Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu first time. And Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu is mentioned 88 times in the Quran. So what was the first time? What did it say? And how does it refer to you and me? Now you can see I've put some descriptions at the bottom, right? So it starts off by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O you who believe, La taqulu ra'ina, don't say ra'ina, Wa qulu undhurna, say undhurna. Both meant the same. Wasma'u, and listen. You see, ra'ina in essence, it was give somebody the regard. Like undhurna, you know, perceive them, look at them. But what they did was, if you twisted your words slightly, Ra'ina, you could twist your word slightly and it would mean stupid. And so when they were told, pay attention to the Prophet and listen, they would twist it slightly and then laugh amongst themselves. So it's telling you and me that always be clear in what you're saying. Don't be ambiguous. Use words that don't hurt. Say it straight as it is and say it well. Say good words. So this was the first order of Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. The next one I've picked is Ayah 121. So I can turn it to you and I'll show you how I've done that. So there you go. So that's my Ayah 121. I have highlighted Yatlunahu Kitabu, or rather Al Kitabu Yatlunahu Hakka Tilawatihi. Those to whom we have given the book, read it as it ought to be read. And then I've got a post-it note which describes what tilawa means. What is tilawa? What does it mean? And I put it there because I can't write it all over, and I put it down there. So I'll go over it with you as we go there. Alladhina atinahum al-kitaba. Those who have given the book, yatlunahu. They do the tilawat of the book. Hakka tilawati, as it ought to be done. Ulaika yu'minuna bihi, they believe in it. وما يكفر به, those who cover up the truth about it, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, they're the ones who are going to be the losers. So what is tilawa? It's the act of reading the Quran. The original meaning is to follow. You know, you say, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, I swear by the sun and its brilliance. And Allah says, I swear by the moon, and follows it. So it literally means to follow. So those who take the verses as leaders and follow them. Imam Sadiq says, tilawa means to recite, to understand, to act on it, to hope on its promises, to fear its warnings, lessons from its stories, following its commands, and staying away from its prohibitions. That's what he says. So I put that in my 121 there. Next one, Ayah 124 to 132, and this is all about Prophet Ibrahim. And I'll show you how I've got it in my Quran. So you can see it there, 124, all the way down. And then if I can turn it slightly, maybe you can see it. You can see I've also put all the ayah that relate to Prophet Ibrahim. So I'm just going to start you with the first one, and then we'll look at it. So let's go back to this. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. So what I've put in my Quran, go back, I've put down there, it's a test to find hidden qualities. See, bala is a test, but ibtila is a harder test. So Allah is testing them with some words, but He managed to fulfill all of them. Words is orders. He's fulfilled all of them. And I've also put the ayat that are connected to it, and I've highlighted there. Qala, in ija'iluka, and Allah tells him, linnasi imama, we'll make you a leader of human beings. And He says, wa min dhurriyati. And Allah says, my covenant does not include the unjust. لَا يَنَالُ أَحْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Let me go back to that. Now if you go back to the Quran and you come down, it comes down to the building of the Kaaba. I've highlighted Hajj here. I put a little Kaaba there and said Hajj is from Hujjah. Hujjah actually means evident proof. You don't need any concrete argument. I've highlighted this dua, which you could highlight as well. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. When they built the Kaaba, this is the dua they recited. Whenever you do anything, read that dua and highlight it. I've highlighted the other side as well up here. And this is really important. This is Surah number 2, Ayah 129. It is answered in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. So let's see what he asks for. He says, رَبَّنَا وَابْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ, raise from amongst them a messenger from them. يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ, who will recite to them your signs. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ, who will teach them the book. وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and wisdom. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and who will purify them. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, you are the most awesome, the mighty, and the wise. And this I've written down here, the dua of Ibrahim, which was answered in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. So hopefully you will highlight that as well. The next ayah that I've got is this one, which is the final one, which is Sibghat Allah. I absolutely adore this ayah. So I'll show you how I've done it in my Quran. Sibgha is the color. So it's literally the color of Allah. So he's saying, it is the color of Allah. That means when somebody sees you, they see Allahi, they see godly. The Prophet said, تَخَلُّكُ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, adopt in yourself the akhlaq of Allah. And that is Asma al-Husna. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغًا, and who is better than Allah in colouring. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ, and we are those who do His ibadah. So ibadah enhances that colour. I'll show you how I've done it. So that is my sibgha. I put a pretty pink colour. I put little rainbows here so it reminds me. Sibghiyat is chromosomes. Sibgha is to color the condition of the mind to Allah's colors, and worship reinforces that color. The Greek word baptism comes from the same thing, is to immerse. And it's symbolic to immerse the child in water and bring him out in divinity's colors. I absolutely adore this. So if somebody were to see you, do you portray the colors of Allah? So hopefully you will highlight your Quran like that. So in essence, that is Juz 1. I've only picked a few ayat. I'm sure you will pick far more than this.